When I was a youngster, that's been a couple years ago. When I was a youngster, I used to be impressed by preachers that would say, "Well, in the middle of the night, God changed my sermon." Then I noticed that some of them did it with such regularity that I really believe what they were trying to do was impress us. And so I really avoid saying that. But I do believe that what I had planned to speak all week, God wants to save for another time. And I'm going to share with you a brand new, very old message. Used to be a restaurant in town that would advertise their restaurant as a new, different, and exciting restaurant over 65 years old. And I used to think, what in the world? I mean, you know, I'm sure they got people's attention with that. Well, today I want to share with you a new, different, and exciting message over 2,000 years old. And what makes it new is because the application occurred just yesterday and last week. And it's helped me see this scripture in a completely different light. Same scripture, very familiar scripture, but I see it in a different way. And that's the beauty of God's word, folks. You may have been in church since you were a little bit. I have. I've been in church most of my life from the time I was born. Some of my earliest memories are in church. There was a 7-year period that I pretty much said, I can do my own thing. I don't need to be around the hypocrites. A lot of people have done that, for different reasons. And I thank God for my church heritage. But there's a very, very real danger that comes from having a long church history. And that is, we begin to look at God's word as if, well, I already know that. There really isn't a whole lot they can teach me. I've actually had older people that I've ministered to in nursing homes say, well, there isn't anything that you're going to tell me I haven't heard before. And folks, we need to understand that God's word is not a book that was written that by some author that just is stagnant. God's word is alive. God's word is dynamic. God's word has more facets to it. Listen to me. Has more facets to it than you will ever live long enough to see. There's not a person listening to me right now that will live long enough to really understand God's word in this life. And when we get into eternity in the fullest sense, we're in eternity now, but when we get into eternity in the fullest sense, our eyes are going to be open and we're going to say, wow, I didn't realize how much more there was. Don't ever, ever let the devil convince you that you've heard it, so you don't need to listen to God's word. I want you to turn to John chapter 3. And some of you are going, oh my, John 3? I want you to turn to John chapter 3. And I'm going to tell you how I've seen this in a whole different light just in the last 24 hours. Let's pray. Father God, I ask this morning that you would open up your word to us. Lord, we acknowledge that we as mere humans need you to expand our mind, to give us insight, to do in us the work that only the Holy Spirit can do, and that is make our minds, our hearts alive to receive your word today. Father, we need your word. I pray, O God, that what may be a very familiar passage of Scripture would come to us this morning in a brand new light. That we would fall in love with Jesus again and again and again and again. For it's in His name I pray. Amen. John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Perhaps some of you could even quote that by memory. Certainly, as I was reading the words, most of you were forming them in your mind before I even said them. But this morning I want to share with you something that you may have gotten, I don't know, but I didn't get before. It didn't really sink in before until I met Nicodemus. And this morning I want you to meet Nicodemus. Because you see, Nicodemus has been in our church. Nicodemus is here this morning. And when you go home and look in the mirror, Nicodemus is going to be looking at you. Having said that, when we see the word Nicodemus this morning, I want us all to silently insert our name in there. I want you to read with me again these first few verses. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." First of all, we see here that Nicodemus was part of a religious group. From history, we know that the Pharisees studied the law. They studied God's word. They were familiar with every little jot and tittle of the word of God, of the law of God in particular. And they prided themselves on having kept the law. Nicodemus was a person who understood God's word. And this morning I'm talking to people who, for the most part, believe that they understand God's word. We all do. We're familiar with God's word. I've heard God's word since I was a little child, since before I could understand the words, I've heard God's word. And some of your children will be able to say that one day, the ones that are in the nursery now. They will be able to say, I grew up understanding God's word. And praise God for that. And I don't doubt that Nicodemus was probably one who could say that as well. We don't know much about him other than what's here. But he was certainly part of this elite class of the Jewish ruling council. We know that they were students of God's word and prided themselves in keeping God's word. So why is it this morning I say Nicodemus has been here, Nicodemus is here, and Nicodemus looks at me in the mirror? Because in a lot of ways, I relate to Nicodemus. Now, perhaps that's too direct of an approach. Let me back off and put it in an application. Usually we see somebody else, and as we're looking at what God's doing in somebody else's heart, then we turn the camera back on us and we see ourselves. So let me help you do that this morning. A week ago Wednesday, we had a visitor come into our service. And he was comfortable being in church. He knew how to act in church. You know, he didn't come in cussing and swearing, and he didn't come in. He was respectful to the pastor, myself. He sat down when we sat down. He got up when we got up. And pretty much he knew when to be quiet and when to ask questions when we opened it up for questions and so forth. And this man was very familiar with the miraculous works of God. And he testified to some of those miraculous works. And I believe in miracles. Our God is a God of miracles. And he testified to some of the things that his church back in another state, he was traveling through, and his church in a state a few states away, actually, and some of the things that they did and how they did some similar work, and they were quite a bit larger than us and so forth, but still, yet, he was testifying to what God was doing in their midst. And that's good to hear. That's good news. That's the kind of things that we need to be sharing with one another, with other Christians. And by the way, you need to be sharing with people that are not Christians in the world. Because they need to hear that God's working in your life and in your church. You want to know the quickest way to fill up this church so that we have to knock out the wall and expand? The quickest way to do that is for you to get excited about what God is doing in your life and you tell other people about it. Because that will have more effect than all the advertising in the world. Now, I happen to think that we're one of the best kept secrets in this town. However, that secret is not going to get out effectively until we as individuals share that. But back to the story of Nicodemus. This man that was here, by his testimony, said that he was a Christian. And yet he testified to the works of God. He recognized the works of God. He had perception. He had insight to see that God was working. And yet, I offended him greatly. Now, I didn't know I offended him until yesterday. Because you see, one of our elders had an opportunity to give him a ride back to his motel after he was here. It was a pleasure to save him the taxi money. But after he had been here, he gave him a ride to his motel, which was about 10 miles, 12 miles down the road. And Rick was sharing with him, engaging in conversation. I don't know how the whole thing went, but the part that I got was, this man said, well, according to your pastor, I guess I'm going to hell. Now, he had just said in our meeting and shared with us about the miraculous works of God and how God was using his church. And he knew Scripture. He quoted Scripture several times. But I offended him because I had said that we are not going to get to heaven by our good deeds. My words were offensive to him because I said that we cannot earn our way to heaven. There's nobody who earns their way to heaven because of the good things they do, or also there's no one who deserves to go to heaven because they abstain from doing the bad things out there. And that was offensive to him. And he heard my words. And Rick had the opportunity to basically share the gospel with him, and I pray that the man responds to that. I don't know. But Rick shared that with me last night as we were having a finance meeting up here. He shared that with me afterwards as we were talking, because I had just shared with him what had happened yesterday afternoon late. A little over 2 years ago, one of our outdoor reaches, I believe it was, that Rick and some others went to the door of a man that lived just across the road here from the church. And they attempted to share the gospel with him, and as I remember, he pretty much let them know he believed in God and so forth. Anyway, we went and visited with him, my wife and I did. We visited with him, and as it worked out, we were able to, we befriended him. And he and I actually spent quite a bit of time together over a very brief period of time. It was a pretty intense time. And as I had talked to Rick about how he had talked to this young man, Rick's opinion was he's all caught up in works. He knows about God, but he thinks he's going to get to heaven by his works. And so as I talked with him, I came to the same conclusion. I believe that he also, I also came to the belief that he was figuring that his good works were going to get him into heaven and his bad works was what he had to avoid in order to please God. Now, please don't for a minute think that I don't believe in doing good things. And please don't for a minute think that I'm excusing you or giving you an excuse to go out and do whatever you want to do. But if we don't start at the foundation of what it means to be born again, we can, and it's very possible, spend our entire life doing the right things, not doing the wrong things, learning God's word, speaking about God's word, giving testimony to God, and completely miss heaven. And I mean completely miss heaven. My wife Donna and I would, most of the time we were together when we met with him. Then there were times that I engaged in a one-on-one conversation with him. And we would, as it worked out, I would come away from those conversations and I would say to Donna, you know what? He just doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. I don't see how he can be so close and still not get it. And I think that's what Nicodemus was. Nicodemus wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. He knew, he recognized the miraculous works of God. He knew God's word. He was familiar with church. Yesterday, I did something that I don't think I've ever done before. I listened to this man. And by the way, he came from about 35, 40 miles away to come see me. He had since moved away and been gone. I talked to him on the phone a couple of times. And both times he initiated a call to me. And they would just kind of come out of nowhere. You know, I'd 8 months, and then suddenly I'd hear from him. A year, and then I heard from him. And then this time came up, and he just showed up at my front door. And we sat out on the porch and talked for over an hour. And as I heard his rundown on what had been going on with his life and how he's trying to get his life back together again, how he really wants to please God with his life. And he's absolutely sincere. Don't get me wrong, he's absolutely sincere. But there was a sense of total frustration. He couldn't understand why everything in his life went wrong when he was trying so hard to do right. You know something? There's a very good chance that some of the people that are hearing this message right now, either live or on tape, there are some people who are hearing this message right now who can identify with that big time. They can't understand why everything is going so wrong when they're trying so hard to do right. And you know people like that. I guarantee it. I guarantee every one of you has at least one person like that in your life on a regular basis. And yet, I did something that I've never done, I don't think, before yesterday. After I listened to this man and I tried to talk and I tried to share the gospel again, I asked him what Evangelism Explosion would call the two diagnostic questions. And that is, are you sure that if you died today, you would be in heaven with Jesus? And he said, absolutely yes. Okay, that's great. The second question is, if you were to die and you stood at the gates of heaven and God said to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you respond? He said, wow, I don't know right off. And I said, well, I mean, you know, if that was a condition of your entry, what would you say to God if he said, why should I let you into my heaven? And he started into the list. He said, well, I'm trying to live a righteous life. I'm trying to do the right things. I'm trying to be right by everybody. I'm trying to bless instead of curse people. I'm trying not to do the wrong things. And I told him, I said, all of those things are good. Now, you got to understand, this is not my normal method, okay? I've dealt with this guy numerous times, shared the gospel with him numerous times. But I said, all of those things are good, but I got to tell you something. You just don't get it. You're not getting it. And I shared with him again in detail. Now, I didn't say that mean. I didn't say it harsh. But I said it very firmly. And I said, again, shared with him, it's not about what you do or don't do. It's about receiving Jesus Christ by faith. And he says, well, I believe in God. What does the scripture tell us, folks? Even the demons believe in Jesus, and they tremble at his name. But you're not going to see any demons in heaven, folks. It's not a matter of believing about Jesus. And that's why we need to be very clear. We need to articulate very closely choose our words carefully, because it's not a matter of believing about Jesus. It's a matter of completely trusting in Him and Him alone. Not what we can do or what we have done, but in trusting in Jesus for our eternal life. Then, after we become a child of God, then we can say, God, help me do the good works and help me stay away from the temptation that would draw me to the bad works. But those aren't the things that establish our relationship. And I know this sounds so elementary, but if it's so easy, why is it that so many people are missing it? Why is it that Nicodemus didn't understand? Nicodemus said, hey, I want to know how you do your miracles. And Jesus just cut right to the chase. He said in verse 3, he said, in reply to Nicodemus's acknowledgement of the miraculous power of God, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. No one, that means you, Nicodemus, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Nicodemus asked a very good question. How can a man be born when he is old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. And Jesus reaffirmed what he said. He says in verse 5, Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. Look, I'm not lying to you, Nicodemus. I'm not steering you off course. You don't understand what I'm saying. I'm cutting right to the heart of where you need to hear. What you need to hear right now is that you must be born again. He says, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. Then he explained what he was talking about spiritual birth as compared to fleshly birth, about spiritual life as compared to life that begins out of amniotic fluid or water. He started explaining here and he said, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. I have no doubt in my mind that just like this man yesterday was looking at me with kind of this, look on his face. That's the same kind of expression Nicodemus was given to Jesus. And so Nicodemus answered the question before it was asked. What does this mean to be spiritually born? Jesus says, look, everybody has to be born of the flesh or of water, and everybody has to be born of the Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but it's been my pleasure to witness 5 births in my life. We have 5 children, and I was there for all 5 of them being born. And that first one was a shocker. Not just for me, but for the doctor. Because you see, we went to a student hospital, and it was the doctor's first birth. Now, the attending doctor had delivered thousands of babies, so we had the experience looking over his shoulder. But the actual doctor that delivered our oldest, it was his very first time. And I'll guarantee you, he was the most nervous person in the room, okay? I had asked him the question, by the way. I said that no doctor at that point wants to be asked, how many of these have you done before? He tried every way in the world. He tried every way in the world not to answer that, but he finally said, well, this will be my first one, you know. And that put it into a whole new realm, okay? So that was really good for me because I started reading up and studying everything I could. I thought, in case this guy falls over and faints, I want to be able to do it, you know. And I've never done one before either, so I can't fault him too much. But, I mean, you know, I hope that his book trading has helped. But he's never done it in real life here, and so it's going to be a first for a bunch of us. My wife's first baby, my first baby, his first baby. Just thank God there was an experienced doctor watching all that. But when Jessie came out, when her little head was delivered, there was a gush of water that went out on that delivery room floor. Yes, that's long enough ago they use the old labor and delivery rooms. It gushed out onto the floor like somebody had somehow opened a 4-inch hole in a full bathtub. I mean, it just went whoosh. And the doctor, trying to hold on to Jesse, literally jumped back. He goes, whoa, like that. At that moment, I understood what it meant to be born of water, to be born of the flesh. Now, I know that people take this and they run all kinds of different directions and say, oh, well, that must be baptism. You got to be baptized to be born. Jesus was talking about being born. He was talking about fleshly birth, and he compared that to spiritual birth. And he said, look, he says, you know the wind is there, but where does the wind come from? Let me ask you that this morning. Where does the wind come from? Where can you go and say, that's the start of the wind right there? And don't tell me a tornado, because that got there somehow too. You don't know where the wind comes from, and you can't see where it's going. As a matter of fact, you can see the effects of the wind, but you can't see the wind. You see things being moved around by the wind, but you don't see the wind. And yet, does that mean you don't believe in wind? Which one of us would say, oh, I don't believe in the wind. I don't know where it came from. I don't know where it's going. I can't see it. I don't believe in it. Woof! And a 60, 80 mile an hour gust just blows me over. I deserve it at that point. That's stupid. And Jesus was getting very, very basic. As a matter of fact, Nicodemus was educated very well. And by human rights, he could very easily be offended by what Jesus was saying. What right does Jesus have to tell me, a member of the ruling council, about spiritual things in the first place? I've heard it all. I'm Nicodemus. I've made a study out of God's word. I know what God's word says, and I know how to obey it. I know how to live the life. And who's he to tell me? All I came is to find out how he did his miracles. That's basically what was being asked of me yesterday. How do I get my life back together? It's messed up again. He said, I'm in the same place I was 2 years ago when I talked with you. And I had to tell him, you're in the same place again because you still don't get it. Jesus said, so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. I like the way this conversation continues. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. How can this be? Jesus said, well, hey, that's all right. You know, I know you're a smart person. You'll figure it out. No, Jesus didn't let up on him at all. Jesus said, You are Israel's teacher. You are Israel's teacher. And you don't understand these things? You know something? I found out yesterday why this man keeps coming back. Even though he moved 100 miles away and now he lives about 35 miles away. I found out why he keeps coming back. You know what he told me yesterday? After I told him he didn't get it and we talked for a while, I saw the tears welling up in his eyes. He kind of tried to hide his face. You know, us guys don't want to show tears. And the tears were running down his cheek. And he said, I want to get it. I really do. I want to get it. And I told him, I said, you need to ask God to reveal what it is I'm talking about. And he says, well, he said, I said, you may think I'm crazy. He said, no, I don't think you're crazy. I think you know what you're saying. But he said, you don't understand. He said, you don't preach like anybody I've ever heard preach before. Now, I can say praise God on one side, but on the other side, I want to go, oh, God. Why is it that this man has been in church virtually his whole life and what he's heard pounded into his head over and over and over again is don't do these things, you better be doing these things. If you're busy enough doing these things, you won't be tempted to do those things. And he never has understood that you can't stop doing the bad things and you're not motivated or energized to do the good things until you're born again, until that new spiritual life comes in and energizes you in a way that lets you do the right things and not do the wrong things. Oh, you can try, and he has. All of us can understand that, right? We know times we've tried hard. And we can honestly say that the harder you try, the harder you fall. But when we fall in love with Jesus, doing the right thing just seems to come natural. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit through us that does those things. Jesus continued in verse 11. He said, I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How will you believe if I speak to you of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, and everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Jesus put the dividing line between him and Nicodemus. He started using terms like we and you people. I and you. He put that dividing line in there. He said, look, I've told you these things and you don't understand me. You don't understand the earthly things. How are you going to understand the spiritual things? Obviously, in reference to what he had just said, the spiritual things, you have to be born of the Spirit. You're not going to understand the spiritual things unless you're born of the Spirit. I was very straightforward with this man yesterday because I don't know when the last time it is he's going to call me. It may be another 2 years. I don't know. I don't know what's going to go on in his life. I don't know who else he's going to go and listen to that's going to tell him that if you just do these right things and you give enough money to this ministry, it's going to be okay. You know what? God's work is funded by people who love God. And yes, it's possible. I could stand up here and beat into people that they need to give to God's work. But that's not the right motivation. We hear that all the time. We're motivated by God's love. And when we recognize what He has done for us, then the old song comes very true in our hearts. I don't know about you, but I used to sing, "All that I have, all that I am, all I shall ever be, cannot repay the love debt I owe. I surrender to Thee." Jesus said that just as the snake was lifted up in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Now, He was speaking to someone who knew exactly what He was talking about. This man was a teacher. He was Israel's teacher. He knew how to teach about the snake being lifted up in the desert, about Moses making the bronze serpent and lifting it up, and how when the people looked at the bronze serpent in faith, they were saved from the result of their sin. They were experiencing snake bites that God had allowed to come on them because they had sinned against God by their grumbling and complaining. And God provided a way out, a redemption, a forgiveness, if you will, of their sin. He had Moses make a bronze figure of that snake, that cursed thing that had come among them. And by the way, the scripture says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus was cursed for us. But He said, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so also must I be lifted up. And what happens? When we recognize that we are suffering the effects of the sin in our life, and we look to Jesus in faith, God does something in our heart that we can't do. He heals us of that sin. Then probably the most famous verses in the world. Jesus said in verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." I thank God for that verse, and I thank God that it's so well known. But I pray to God this morning that that verse will come alive new in my heart. I want to see that verse in new ways. I want to fall in love with that verse over and over again. I don't ever want to get tired of quoting that verse or hearing that verse, because it ministers to the soul that needs God. And there's a lot more people out there that need God than they think. What am I saying? In other words, there's a lot of people that think they have God. There's a lot of people think they know God. There's a lot of people think that everything's all right with them. But it's not. And they're missing it. And they get so close, and yet they're so far away. I don't know if any of you this morning are in that same place. But I know this verse will minister. If you see that you're not motivated by the love of God, if you're trying to earn good standing with God by what you do or what you don't do, there's a good chance you don't understand this. You see, I believe very much in doing good works. And I believe very much in not doing sin. But the reason I choose not to do sin, and the reason I choose to do good works, is because I realize that God loves me. And on one hand, I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God that lives in my heart. And on the other hand, I want to please God by the good works I do, because I'm already a child of God. Because when I was still a sinner, Jesus died for me. In a very real sense, folks, it was a done deal before we were ever born. I understand that. But Jesus saw me in my sin and He died for me. When Jesus hung on that cross, God knows eternity from eternity. And He purposed in His heart to die for you. He saw you and your need. He saw you in your sin. And He purposed to die for you. Now, I don't have any assurance that this man yesterday listened to what I said and really he listened with his ears, but I don't know if he really heard it. You know what I'm saying? Jesus went on. He didn't stop at John 3:16, and we shouldn't either. He said, "For God," in verse 17, "for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world." By the way, the world was already condemned. He sent Him into the world to save the world. But to save the world through Him. Let me read that again. "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." Verse 18. "Whoever believes in Him," that is the Son, "is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Are you living by the truth this morning? Are you walking in the light? Then quite honestly, you can say that the good things that have happened in your life, those works of light and truth, have been done through God. They didn't come about as a result of your goodness. Even the good things that were done came about because God worked His life through you. You see, all the good works that this man yesterday could try to do. And I don't know, I personally do not know anybody who tries harder than him. Having known him now for about 2.5 years, I don't know anybody that tries harder than him, including myself. But his works fail, because it's through him and his power and not through God. So this morning, Do you see holes in your life? It might be because the works are being done through your power and not through God's power. I thank God. For the encounter we had last week with the man I offended on a Wednesday night. And I thank God for the encounter I had yesterday. But this morning I'm wondering, how many of us are Nicodemuses? How many of us have become so used to God's word that has become old hat? Let's fall in love with Jesus again. Let's understand that we are nothing without Him. Let's fall in love with Jesus again and let Him energize our lives. Let's fall in love with Jesus again and say, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I'm tired, God, of trying to figure out how to fix my life. And that can apply to anything. It might apply to your marriage. It might apply to your children. It might apply to your finances. It might apply to your education. It might apply to any part of your life. But you and I need to get to that place where we're tired of trying to do it on our own. And we say, God, I turn this area over to you completely. Because it's only when you work through me that it's seen plainly that these works were done through you. Christian, are you hearing me? Lost person, are you hearing me? And the ones I fear about the most, if you think you're a Christian, but you also think you're pleasing God by your good deeds, are you hearing me? In other places, Jesus said, let him who has ears to hear, hear. It seems like a silly thing, doesn't it? Unless we're unfortunate to be deformed in some way, or we have a horrible accident, pretty much all of us have two ears to hear with. Jesus wasn't saying, okay, deaf people, don't listen. He wasn't saying that. He was saying, if you have spiritual ears to hear what I'm saying today, if you have spiritual ears to hear, then listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying to you. What part of this message applies to you? What part of this message can you take to other people? How many people in your life need to hear this kind of message? And I don't want to put down any other church, but it crushed me to think about the family of God, those that call themselves Christian, when this man told me yesterday, nobody else preaches like you preach. Never heard that kind of preaching before. That's sad. There's a very real possibility that some of the people listening to my words, God's stirring in your heart. That he may want to use you to preach the truth. God may want to use you to be a unique preacher. I'm not saying I'm right in everything. If I was perfect in everything, I wouldn't be here because I'd be Jesus. But I am saying this. I don't have enough time left on this earth to play footsies with people in church over the gospel. I don't have enough time left on this earth not to preach the truth of God's word. And I don't know how much time I've got, but if I've got 200 years, I don't have enough time to waste it. And neither do you. If you can honestly say this morning, you're not a Nicodemus. Then how many people, how many Nicodemuses are there that you need to tell about? How many people are you playing footsie with when you talk about spiritual things and you think, oh, well, I don't want to offend them. So you kind of dance around it. How many people need to hear you tell them, you must be born again? You are Israel's teacher and you don't understand this? I could go on, but this is where I need to stop. Would you bow with me, please, in a word of prayer? Father God, I ask you this morning that you would take your word, that you would burn it into our hearts. God, forgive me because I always looked at Nicodemus like somebody who really needed to be educated. But it wasn't a lack of education. It was a lack of understanding what he already knew. Help me, God, not to be a Nicodemus in any area of my life. Lord, forgive us of our sin of arrogance. Forgive us of our sin of complacency. Forgive us, O God, of our sin that would allow us to focus on other things instead of on loving you. Help us, O God, to love you in every area of our life. And help us, O God, to share the good news of Jesus with every Nicodemus we meet. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.